We've been doing a message covering James 2, 14 through 26. The overall title was, Be Sure You Have the Right Kind of Faith. Now, there's three kinds of faith that James deals with in James chapter 2, 14 through 26. There is, first of all, the dead faith. Dead faith is faith that has nothing to back it up. There's no fruit. There's all kinds of claims, but there's no fruit at all. And then there's demonic faith. Demonic faith is real interesting. We'll look at that in a moment. Dead faith is intellectual. It's an intellectual type of faith. They know the facts intellectually, but that's as far as it goes. Demonic faith is, well, it's intellectual, but it's also emotional, because we see very clearly recorded here in relationship to demonic faith. In James 2:19, it says, Thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. They go one step further. They tremble. We looked, if you would, at the things that demons believe. You know that demons believe that there's one God? They're monotheistic, and the demons believe in the deity of Christ. Very interesting. They believe in the deity of Christ. Demons believe in a place of eternal punishment, and they know they're going there. Demons recognize Jesus Christ as the judge, and while he was on earth, they submitted to his authority, but they refuse to repent because they've already made their choice and they worship the devil. So there is, first of all, the kind of faith that, you know, has lip service, dead faith. And then there's the demonic faith that kind of gets emotional, and yet they do not repent and they do not believe. And we're going to be looking at the dynamic faith today. I'd also like to remind you that we've been looking at two different aspects of justification. If you don't understand this, you will not understand the book of James. You'll think it's in conflict. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about justification, he's talking about our justification before God, how a man is saved. Romans chapter 3, verse 28, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's the truth. You can only be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your good works aren't going to be worth a nickel in relationship to saving you. Now, James is looking at justification from a completely different aspect. James believes, as we'll see this morning, James believes in salvation by grace through faith. But James is looking at justification before men. James is not dealing with the means of salvation. Rather, he's dealing with the outcome of salvation when salvation genuinely occurs. James is addressing true believers and tells true believers that if you are a true believer, you will live the Christian life. James 2:18, it says, Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I like what one commentator had to say about this. He says, James contrasts living faith with what he describes as dead faith. Saving faith with non-saving faith. Productive faith with unproductive faith. Godly faith with a kind of faith that is exercised by the demons. That's what's being compared here. Well, let's move on to what we're going to be looking at today in this message. We're going to be looking at dynamic faith, particularly in verses 20 through 26. I'd like to read it to you again, so follow along. Beginning at verse 20, it says, But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Then he moves on to his illustrations of this point. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out the other way. So you have a Jew, or the father of the Jews, and a Gentile compared. And then verse 26, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, dynamic faith, of the three types of faith that he's talking about, dynamic faith is the only one that is saving faith. It is the only real kind of faith. It's the only kind of faith that has power. And when we have dynamic faith, our life changes. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We used to sing the little song and taught our children the song, the things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. When you get saved, you're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man. When you get saved, you're supposed to put away some of the things in your life. And, you know, it's very, very tragic. Sometimes you see no change at all. And if you see no change at all, while it is true that some changes take a long time, but there are some things that take care immediately and change immediately. It's very interesting how we see those things. And the result of genuine faith is a changed life. Now, James gives us a description of true, dynamic, saving faith. Number one, it is based on God's Word. Now, turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 18. You've seen it before, but I want you to see it again. True saving faith is based on God's Word. Of His own will, here it is, begat He us with the Word of truth. You know what the word begat means? It means born again. He makes us born again by the Word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creation. You know, that's why I tell people, that's why Pastor Darrow is teaching in the TEL class. You're going to learn the grace outline. It isn't that you couldn't use something else. You could use the Romans Road. You could use John 3:16. But verses that saturate the grace outline, because it's the Word of God that the Holy Spirit of God uses so that people can be born again. And so that's important to learn those verses. Secondly, James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And here it is. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, here it is, which is able to save your soul. We receive the word of God, and when we respond to that received word, we are born again. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Share the word of God with people. Share the gospel with people. Share the plan of salvation with people. Share the Word of God. A testimony is good, how you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you know what? Saturate it with the Word of God, because as I said, it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses the Holy Word of God to convict people that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. James isn't denying that. James says that your salvation is based on the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 18, James chapter 1, verse 21. As you hear about the person of Christ, what He did, how He lived a perfect life, how he is the God-man, how that He willingly chose to suffer and die for your sins. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven. As you hear about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you believe the gospel And as you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, not new to probably anybody here, but being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, here it is, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, true saving faith is based upon this book. It's based on the Bible. It must be based on the Bible. True faith must have a proper object. I'll never forget the time that I spent in Haiti and the things that people worshipped in Haiti. Yes, they worshipped literal idols of wood and of stone. I remember the people got so fearful one time when one of the missionaries came on a group of people trying to witness to them, and they were worshiping these little idols that they'd made with hands. And you know what the missionary did? He picked up the idols and threw them down the mountain. And everybody, the devils are going to get you. You know, it was so tragic to see what idolatry, the hold that idolatry had on those people in Haiti. They would spend up to a year's wages buying a little idol from the witch doctor to bury in their garden, hoping that the gods would bless their crop and they would have a good crop, a whole year's wages, friends. How tragic it was. No matter how much faith these unsaved people had in these idols, they were deaf, they were dumb, and they could not help them. There was a drought going, and you know, you could have bought four of those fetishes and buried it in your garden, and you know what you'd have? Buried fetishes in your garden. And you know what? They didn't even grow, neither did the crops. I'm reminded of Psalm 115, 4 through 8. Take your Bibles and turn there. See, Israel made the mistake of following some of the idolaters around them. And what we see the psalmist writing in Psalm 115, 4 through 8, it says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but hear not. Noses they have, but smell not. They have hands, and they handle not. They have feet, and they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. It says, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. I was reading this week for the message, and I came across this. I like it. I believe that many be the testimonies of many sincere people. Let me get it. They say, I believe that may be the testimony of many sincere people. But the big question is, in whom do you believe and what do you believe? We are not saved by faith in faith. I think that that's what some people have. They have faith in their faith. That isn't going to save you. We are saved by faith in Christ as revealed in this book. Saving faith, dynamic faith, is based on God's word as recorded in this book. Saving faith involves our whole person. It certainly involves our intellect, because before you're saved, you have to know the truth about Jesus. Amen? And not only does it involve your intellect, but it also involves your emotions. But not just your emotions. Your emotions. Yes, I believe what is written about Jesus Christ is true, but that isn't saving faith yet. You might know the facts, and you might even agree that the facts are true, but have you made a choice of your will? That's where the rubber meets the road. The mind, the emotions, and then your volition. You know what your volition is? That's your will. That's your choice maker. Do you choose to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you choose to personalize it? Do you choose to repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? There's lots of people who know the facts about Jesus. There's lots of people who agree that those facts are true. But there are lots of people also who have never personalized those facts and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I used to be a tool maker of sorts. Actually, I was a machinist, let's get it right. And I knew how to, back that time, things have changed. Man, I used to know how to use a micrometer and calipers and all those things. But you know, if you know how to use all those things and you do not make anything with those things, I still have a micrometer in my desk. And you know what I do with it? Nothing! It's one of the old type. It's not one of those digital ones today. Those digital, you can be an idiot and run one of those digital things once you calibrate it. I used to have to, you know, you spin it in and spin it out because you got to see whether it's the thousandth, you know. Whoo, boy. It sits in my desk. I know about it. I know how to use it. But you know what I've done with it? Nothing! And you know what? There's people sitting in churches, maybe people sitting here this morning. They know about it. They've heard me preaching for, some of you have heard me preaching for the whole time that I've been here. That's a long time. More than 3 decades. Some of you not, but so you know the facts. And you might even agree that they're true, but have you bowed the knee? Have you personalized it? Have you made the volitional choice of your will to say, I am not trusting in my own works. I am not trusting in my heritage. I am not trusting in my religion. I am not trusting in anything else. I am trusting only in Jesus Christ and His shed blood for my salvation. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. That's where you got the dynamic faith. You see, saving faith involves the whole person. The heart's desire of someone who's genuinely saved acts upon the truth. Acts upon the truth. You see, true saving faith leads to action. You know the truth, you believe the truth, and you make a choice to act upon the truth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, James is not contradicting the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith in any way. He was not dealing with the means of salvation. Remember that. He was dealing with the outcome of salvation. After you're saved, you show that you're saved by obedience to God's word and by how you live your life. These are the genuine evidences that salvation is occurred by obedience to God and fruit of good works. Where there is dynamic faith, you will always find good works and obedience to God's word. James chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead." Dead. Now, James illustrates this point by using the father of the Jews and a Gentile whore. That's what she was. But she got saved by faith, as did Abraham. Let's look at Abraham. We see Abraham's salvation experience recorded in Genesis chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, 5 and 6. Because that's where James moves. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Genesis chapter 15, 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look towards the heaven and tell the stars. The word tell, my wife used to be a teller. You know what tellers did? Tellers counted. Michelle, you were a teller, or are a teller. Tellers count, and that's the old word here. And count, and tell, count the stars. If thou be able to number them. You couldn't, but he said, just count them. But then look what God said. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. God said, look at that. Your family is going to be just like these stars. Innumerable. You're not going to be able to count them. Now look what happens. Here's his faith experience. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted, God counted it to him for righteousness. I want you to see the Hebrew word count here. It's called impute in the New Testament, as we look in James chapter 2, verse 23. But in this Old Testament account, the word count means, it's a legal term, it means to put on one's account. And that's very clearly shown in the New Testament. It means to impute. So you know what God did for Abraham? Because Abraham believed God's truth and what he said, he took what God said on faith. You know what he did? God saved him. He put his righteousness on Abraham's account. See, that's what happens to us. I got to tell you something. And I'm purposely doing this. I ain't got no righteousness of my own. And that be the truth. Guess what? Neither do you. You don't have any righteousness of your own. And the righteousness that I have and that you have, Jeremiah makes it very clear that our righteousness is as filthy rags. You see, God has a standard, and that standard is perfection. And I use this illustration in my soul winning all the time. If I were to take some big, strong guy like Matt Dienberg over here, and I would say, okay, Brother Dienberg, we're going over, it's about 2.25 miles over to Lake Michigan. And I go into my office, and I have these beautiful, brand-new Brewers hardballs. I say, we're going to have a contest, brother. We're going to see which one of us is the best. And so, on the count of three, we're going to wind up your best pitch. I got to get ready to pitch here. On the count of three, we're going to throw these hard balls across to Muskegon. I can guarantee something. As I give it my best, oh, ouch. Go to about the back of the auditorium here, about that distance. He's going to throw it further than me, but I guarantee you this. He's not going to throw it the 65 miles to Muskegon. I guarantee that. I'm not a betting man, but I'd take bets on that, and I'd win. Not a betting man. Why? 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 What's this all about? The gap is too wide. Abraham, at his best, was a failure. Besides the fact that he was a liar. That's my sister. Yeah, right. Half-sister. But here's the point. Your righteousness isn't going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you to heaven. So what Abraham did is he believed God, and God saw his faith, and he put his righteousness on Abraham's account. So when he looked at Abraham, he could say, you're my friend. And that's what's happened to us in Jesus Christ. See, we're spiritually bankrupt just like Abraham was. And God put his righteousness on Abraham's account, just like God does when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Abraham did not work for this righteousness. He received it as the gift of God. He was declared righteous by faith. He was justified by faith. And justification, as I put here in the notes, is an important biblical doctrine. Justification is the act of God whereby He declares the believing sinner righteous on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross. It is not a process. It is an act. It is not something the sinner does. It is something God does for the sinner when he trusts in Christ. It is a once-for-all event, and it never changes. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you tell if a person is justified by faith when the transaction takes place between the sinner and God privately? How do I know that he's a Christian, she's a Christian, he's a Christian, she's a Christian? How do I know that? Well, it's a good question. Abraham's example answers that important question. The justified person has a changed life and obeys God. His faith is demonstrated by his works. And a lot of people don't recognize this, but James reaches way back into the life of Abraham. And you know, from the time that we read about Abraham's faith and his salvation, James goes back and pulls an illustration from Abraham's life about 40 years along further from the time that he got saved. You know that? Because that's what's talking about here as we look at this. It's talking about how that he took Lot and obeyed God. James reaches into Abraham's life about 40 years after his salvation. James chapter 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac upon his son upon the altar? That happened 40 years after Abraham's faith. The event of offering Isaac on the altar, we read about in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was not saved by obeying God's difficult command. His obedience proved that he had already been saved some 40 years previous. It's a demonstration. James 2:22. See thou how faith wrought. Now let's look at that word wrought. James 2:22. A lot of people don't understand this verse. James 2:22. See thou how faith wrought. You look up the word wrought in your Strong's. It means work together. See how faith worked together with works. And by works was faith made perfect. The word perfect there means complete. So what happened was, as he had saving faith, he demonstrates it by his work, and people saw that he had genuine faith. Well, remember, as I've explained to you, by faith, he was justified before God. By works, he was justified before men. Men saw that he was genuinely saved. It is true that no human actually saw Abraham put his son on the altar. That's true. But in the inspired record of Genesis chapter 22, it enables us to see the event and witness Abraham's faith demonstration by its works. And you know, Abraham had the faith that even if he killed Isaac, God would raise him up. But God did provide a ram for Isaac. And God has provided a lamb for you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No other way to be saved than by Jesus. Hence James writes, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Verse 24, ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James 2 emphasizes that true Christians practice the truth. A true Christian doesn't hold to mere doctrines. He practices those doctrines in his everyday life. His faith is not a dead faith like the intellectuals or the demonic faith of the fallen spirits. It is dynamic faith of men like Abraham and women like Rahab that we're not going to get a chance to look at this morning. A faith that changes a life and goes on to work for God. Look at James chapter 2 and verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We're going to go and do a roof for a sister church in Battle Creek. If you're going to sign up, I want live people, please. Say what? Well, yeah, you know what? I used to work for a mortician. Dead people don't climb ladders. Dead people don't pick up shingles. Dead people don't use air guns. Dead people don't carry bundles of shingles. Why? You say, preacher, they're dead! And that's exactly what James is saying. If you claim that you have faith, but there's no demonstration of it in your life, it's a lie. You're dead. You've never been born again. I want to bring it up again, and I'm almost done. It's important for professing Christians to examine their own heart and their own life and make sure that they possess true saving faith and not dead faith or demonic faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ be in you except ye be reprobates? You know, you can walk around and give lip service all you want. But Jesus Christ warned in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father. I meet him all the time. People who profess that they're Christians, they haven't been to church in years and years and years and years. They're not witnessing to anybody. Their life is filled full of vices. They have a filthy mouth. You say, are you saying they're not saved? No, what I'm saying is they better examine themselves and see whether they're in the faith. And if they are in the faith, boy, oh boy, they better repent and get right with God. So as we conclude this section, there can be nothing more important than asking you the question this morning that I started out with when we began this whole thing. Are you sure you have the right kind of faith? Are you sure that you have the right kind of faith? Dead faith? If you have dead faith, there's no works there, you're not saved. You can even have the emotion of it and be afraid of hell. You could have the demonic faith. There's the intellect and the fear. You're not saved. What you need is the dynamic faith when you turn from your sins and you turn to Christ and you've invited Him to come into your life. You've called upon His name and you've made that volitional choice of your will to trust only in Jesus Christ. And then you're not going to have to generate anything. because the Holy Spirit will live out his life through you. Oh, yeah. We're going to spend a lifetime putting off the old man and putting on the new. Let me tell you, I'm still working on it. Any of you? But there are some things that change. And you have a desire to do his will. And you do see some fruit in your life. Do you have fruit? Let's have our head bowed.